From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond, California.
San Jose.
San Jose.
Union City.
Eastside. Jackson.
I'm from the Campbell area.
Hayward.
Coming up, we find librarians keeping kids busy in unexpected places.
I thought it was a great idea. It's very simple. I just bring books down here a couple times a month for about a half hour. I read to the kids. It seems like a really easy and successful thing to do.
Then we stumble upon something out of the ordinary in an Oakland library.
If the community wants a Zumba class and it's something that we can provide, I think it's something, yeah, we definitely would love to share with them.
And we go hunting in the stacks at Dark Carnival Bookstore.
It's the oldest science fiction store in this part of the world.
We're hitting the books today on Cross Currents. As our economy slowly recoups from the recession, it's becoming clear that some communities are still far from being part of this recovery. A report by the Center for Responsible Lending found that when the housing crisis hit, minority homeowners, especially Latinos and African Americans, were twice as likely to lose their homes to foreclosure as white homeowners. And as the ethnic news organization New America Media reported earlier this week, this problem hasn't gone away. Nearly half of the homes in one predominantly black neighborhood of West Oakland are currently underwater. When people lose their homes, their problems are often compounded by unemployment or the skyrocketing rental market they're forced to enter. In East Oakland, there's a place you can go to get job assistance and housing support, along with food stamps, medical coverage, or even child care. That's at the Eastmont Town Center.
We really want people to start thinking about social services as a very holistic, service-oriented organization. So that's where I go and get my taxes done. That's where my child got their first library card.
That's Sylvia Souble, media officer for the Alameda County Social Service Agency. It's one of the agencies housed on 7200 Bancroft Avenue in East Oakland. This was once the Eastmont Mall, but as incomes dropped and crime rose in the surrounding area, Planned Parenthood and the Oakland Public Library moved in, Mervyn's became the Oakland Police Department, and JCPenney became the Social Service Agency. But there's a cost to having so many services under one roof. It usually means a long wait. Normally, it's advisable to leave your children at home, which can be close to impossible if you're waiting in line for childcare assistance in the first place. But lately, the children who normally scream and cry for mercy have had a welcome distraction. KALW's Holly J. McDeed has more.
You can't deny it. Waiting rooms are a total drag. At the Eastmont Social Service Agency, about 30 people are in line for a number, and their eyes are glazed over. 60 more people sit in plastic chairs waiting for their numbers to be called. On average, 700 to 1,000 people wait in line here every day. At times, it can feel eternal.
The volume of activity in our waiting room has increased probably by 20 to 30% since the economic downturn. And so our waiting rooms are typically always very, very busy.
That's Sylvia Souble, the media officer for the Alameda County Social Service Agency. She sentenced herself to the room of waiting to see what she could do to make it better.
And I went down to the waiting room one day, and I just stood and I observed. And I saw parents, you know, with small children trying to keep them entertained, and, you know, children with that, you know, sort of unbridled energy running about and, you know, and getting into areas where they weren't supposed to be. And so we thought about what can we do to engage both the parent and child. And I immediately thought about when I was a child, and I had fond memories of going to the bookmobile. And when the bookmobile used to come to our neighborhood, and how much fun that was, and we looked forward to it.
That's why Souble decided to bring the library to the waiting room, just like the bookmobile that came to her house when she was a kid. She'd call the program Read While You Wait, and it was a partnership with the Oakland Public Library. Children's librarian Amy Martin signed up.
I'm going to read the books.
I thought it was a great idea. It's very simple. I just bring books down here a couple times a month for about a half hour. I read to the kids. A lot of the kids end up coming to the library after I see them here. So it seems like a really easy and successful thing to do.
You want me to read that one? Let me see. Okay. The baby goes beep.
Beep.
The baby goes beep. Does the baby go beep?
No.
No.
This baby goes beep. Let's see. The baby goes beep. The baby goes beep.
There are no walls. There's nothing to cushion the noise or to buffer the noise. But it's really interesting how intently children listen when they are engaged in a way that is interesting and exciting for them. And even the parents, we notice that the noise level in the waiting room goes down a few decibels because people really are engaged, whether they are in close proximity or if they're sitting all the way across the room.
The baby goes smooch. The baby goes smooch, 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 smooch.
There's only a pane of glass between the reading circle and the waiting room. But Amy Martin seems unfazed by the noise around her. She reached about 14 kids while sitting on the floor, surrounded by a pile of books.
You can come visit me upstairs at the library.
What days are you in the library?
All the days were open, Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Martin says that she'll end up seeing 90% of the children from the reading circle back at the library. This is one of two reading circles so far in the Read While You Wait program. The other is at the Social Service Agency in downtown Oakland.
Now serving A0.
Lola loves Tuesdays. On Tuesdays, Lola and her mommy go to the library.
That's librarian Lori Wilhelm. She says these reading circles are more than just a way for kids to pass the time.
The people who come to the library are self-select. They come to the library, hear about library activities, and then they come to the library again. Coming to a waiting room like this, we meet people who may or may not have come to the library before. And so it's an opportunity for us to outreach to a population that does not self-select for the library. Lola and her mommy give back the books from last week. The librarian buzzes them through the machine.
When their numbers are called, many parents have to convince their children to leave the reading circle. On her way out, parent Davina Johnson says she was surprised to see something like this in a waiting room.
Oh, it was nice for the kids to sit down and have something to do while the parents is getting things done.
My daughter, yes, she enjoyed it, I can tell.
Even adults without children look on at story time to see what's going on. Possibly they're wishing they had one of their own.
Lola loves that. They are listening just as much as children ever do. Just today, I saw a couple that were actively listening. She was singing along with me and doing some of the hand movements. Can you kick with 2 feet, 2 feet, 2 feet? Can you kick with 2 feet? Kick, kick, kick.
But adults do have other options. The Social Service Agency has arranged for someone to push around a cart full of magazines for them to read.
Can you wave bye, 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 bye? Can you wave bye, 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 bye? Thank you for coming, and you can get these books and many more at your public
now
library.
When the librarians leave, the temporary library returns to its former life as a waiting room. The parents who had been waiting with their kids have all had their numbers called, and they're on their way to getting food stamps, Medi-Cal, and unemployment assistance. And when they're done, there's a good chance they'll take their kids up one floor to get their first library card. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
1, 2, 3, go!
You can find a calendar with all the scheduled reading circles at KALW.org. That's also where you can find out how to volunteer with the Read While You Wait program. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Libraries are where many people go to exercise their brains. And now there's at least one where you can go to exercise your body.
One, two, three, four, hit it!
The 81st Avenue Branch Library in East Oakland is finding that what people want in their neighborhood is to work out. And they didn't have to go far to find the right instructor. She was a regular at the library who dreamt of being a fitness instructor when she was older. KALW's Leela Day brings us the story of a teenager who's getting her library in shape.
15-year-old Jennifer Estrada is in the upstairs room of the library, and she's getting ready for class. She's wearing her all-black workout gear, and her long hair blends in with her shirt.
My name is Jennifer, but I go by Ariella. And then, well, basically, we're going to do a video, workout video, for people that, you know, are overweight.
This is the first class Ariella's teaching with the help of a video. Normally, she's downstairs in the library with all of the books. That's where she's come for the past couple of years to learn about nutrition and health.
I used to be overweight, and people used to make fun of me. When I used to start working out, like, people laughed about me.
Ariella carries difficult memories with her about her weight, like of the kids at school making fun of her for her clothes being too tight, and of that horrible day when her doctor told her she was obese, weighing nearly 200 pounds.
I don't want to be skinny. I want to be fit. That's a big difference.
So a couple of years ago, Ariella came here to the library to check out fitness videos, and she started with Zumba. It's a popular exercise that combines dance and aerobics. Thanks to these videos and changing her diet, Ariella started losing weight and became healthy again. She even got her mom to exercise with her. Ariella's mother, Wendy Sanchez, says her daughter asked her to exercise with her, but Wendy said it wouldn't work. Then one day she went to her doctor, who told her she was going to have to go on insulin because she was so overweight. That's when Wendy agreed to exercise with Ariella, and she's been doing so ever since. She lost 55 pounds dancing to videos with her daughter. Today, the upstairs room in the library is full of women and children.
Yirau, what are you going to do while your mom is dancing today?
Dance with her, and maybe take a break.
How does it make you feel when you dance?
Like a party.
Libraries aren't the most practical place for an exercise dance party like this one, but the library decided to make an exception. The 81st Avenue branch is in a high-crime area of East Oakland, so it's always looking for ways to get people together over something positive. When Ariella approached the library about leading a class, Anthony Propernick, the senior library assistant here, didn't see why not.
If the community wants a Zumba class and it's something that we can provide and make sure it doesn't spill over into the rest of the library, the noise, I think it's something, yeah, we definitely would love to share with them.
So I just wanted to say welcome on behalf of the library to everyone to our first ever exercise class.
It's 2 p.m. and the class is starting. Ariella doesn't seem so afraid to be in front of the room. She even speaks to the women in both English and Spanish. Ariella is mostly here to keep everyone motivated.
Keep trying. Don't give up on yourself because I was really chubby. I may look fit right now, but I was really chubby. You could ask my mom.
The video starts and the 13 or so women stand behind Ariella, mimicking the moves on the screen. Occasionally, Ariella turns around and smiles or gestures to the class to step it up a notch. Everyone's having a good time.
Serious workout. But it's a good workout. I enjoyed it.
When the class is over, Ariella makes her rounds to find out how she did. That's when she meets Kenya Ruffin, who comes to the library weekly to meet with her counselor.
You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. I have a leg injury. I got shot 3 times, and twice in one leg and once in this leg. So it's a little hard to keep up, but it's fun. So you actually want to continue and keep going. And there is a lighter
version of it?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can
which
do a lighter
yeah.
version always.
Yeah. Ariella lives a few houses down from the library. Most of the women in this class also live nearby. They say that it's harder to exercise because they don't feel safe enough to walk around in their neighborhood. So they appreciate a class like this during the day. one that's free and in a safe space.
I'm doing it because I want to motivate people out there to come over here to work. They're not alone, you know. I'm here for them.
Moments later, Ariella's riding her bike down 81st Avenue with a huge sense of accomplishment. One hand is full of DVDs, the other's on her handlebars, her chin up. She looks ready for next week's class. In Oakland, I'm Leela Day for Cross Currents.
You can find a schedule of all the activities offered by the Oakland Public Library at our website, klw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. Stepping over stacks of books is a form of exercise. At least it is in Berkeley's Dark Carnival bookstore, where books line the walls, staircases, and floor of the small store. KALW's Dora Finkelstein stopped by Dark Carnival and got a tour.
My name's Jack Rims. I'm the owner of Dark Carnival Bookstore and Escapist Comics in Berkeley. It's the oldest science fiction store in this part of the world. We opened in 1976.
My name is Pat Lupoff. Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
How long have I worked here? Do you know?
I don't really know.
I think I've worked here about 6 years.
I was a physics student at UCLA. I started working in a bookstore in Westwood that specialized in science fiction, and I thought I could do this. And somehow I imagined that Berkeley would be just like Westwood. I was wrong, but that's what I imagined, and so I thought I'd try opening a store here. I was 21. Mostly we try to carry everything, if it's science fiction, fantasy, and we've carried mysteries for about 25 years.
You can see that we're sort of have a lot to deal with.
25,000 maybe.
I don't know if he has all of them in a computer database, frankly, but he knows what everything is, so it's easy.
Alphabetical by author. There are a few things like Dungeons and Dragons or Doctor Who where the author really doesn't matter. I guess I like to talk about the two times Douglas Adams was here. The second time he was here was the day that he was supposed to appear at Cody's in downtown Berkeley, and they were bombed because of the Satanic Verses. So they were closed, and they called us about 4 hours ahead and said, could we do the signing at your store? And, you know, we said, okay. And it was very strange, just because, you know, we were all thinking about bombs and stuff.
Our bathroom is way in here. And it's full of books.
I have two or three favorite books. If you ask me what's the best book in the store, I'll give you a different answer.
What's the best book in the store?
The Deptford Trilogy by Robertson Davies.
And what's your favorite thing about owning the store?
Just having people give me credit for some great book that they loved.
That was Jack Rims and Pat Lupoff giving a tour of the Dark Carnival Bookstore in Berkeley. That story was produced by Dora Finkelstein. What's your favorite bookstore? Tell us about it on our Facebook page. We are KALW. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. This past January, Adobe Books in San Francisco's Mission District was on the verge of going out of business. It had been in the community for decades, and this seemed like another sign of the big changes taking place in the neighborhood. We sent KALW's Holly J. McDeed there to gather what might have been one last story about the shop before it closed. She spoke with then-owner Andrew McKinley.
Why, Simon, how are you? It's good to see you. And Molly, too.
Hi.
Good to see you.
I brought my parents.
Oh, very nice. The Carters.
Yeah.
Hi. Andrew McKinley.
Hi, nice to meet you. Yeah.
I'm Andrew Charlie.
Good to have you in.
Thank you.
Do you remember the old days?
The mission was sleepier. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was, there was less activity. There was less people. It was poor. It was a little more dangerous or considered more edgy. And yet there was a vitality in that when we opened the doors in 1989, I was just surprised and pleasantly surprised at the number of artists that were coming in to shop here. Oh, hey, Sade. Great to see you.
Which one did I make?
Oh, great. Alcatraz, it's $15, but I'll make it $12 today.
You're a beautiful man.
Well, we're in a selling business. Some of the best selling stuff is poetry. You can never get enough good poetry. On our left here, you'll find Swan. John, alias John Ratliff, he's our perennial habitué of the store.
John Ratliff, my real name.
Yes. Okay, we've woken him up there. Any comments for the press? Okay, no. You know, some people think we've done a lot for the art scene, and I don't know what to say, because when I sit back here now and think about it, what have we done? What happened here? It was the setting for a lot of artistic energy. Artists hung out here, they interacted, some of them married each other, or, you know, they bounced off each other. And friendships were made, associations in the arts. Economics have forced a lot of artists away from here. They don't hang out as much. It's possible the art energy has moved to Oakland or something. There's a lot of artists living there. If you go to the First Fridays or the Art Murmur, the energy is amazing. We've never gotten that type of energy for local things here. I mean, we've had some intense parties where hundreds of pretty much younger people have showed up. But I'm impressed with what's going on in Oakland. Simon, you should pick out a book there. You need another good book.
Do you have any books on... I'll think of that.
All right, I have a whole stack of books. I should give you one. Well, I guess I'm just old-fashioned. Am I old? Am I tired? I don't know. I've been comfortable doing it this way, and I've grown up in a tradition. I spent my youth in an era with, you know, very few electronics, and books were always respected in my family. Education was cherished, worshipped, but I've not adapted that well to the modern age. I can barely type. I can't type, really. And my computer skills are almost nil. I do believe and accept computers as the future. But I've relied on book learning and book exposure rather than internet surfing and exploring. It's just a different world, and a world that's now becoming part of the past as it dies off. I feel safer and safer all the time, but now I'm, you know, in danger of losing the space as a storefront. It's just too expensive for used books. Somebody else could probably do very well here, selling who knows what, tacos even. I mean, have you been to Tacolicious? Everything's gone upscale. I'd probably have to sell a wider variety of items. New books, remainders, cards, newspapers, magazines, clothing. Liquor would be a good thing. If I had a liquor license, I'd probably be doing fine. I'm going to liquidate all the books. And I think that's the best way to behave. Until an actual savior comes, a white knight, a moneyed person, or a group that can raise the money. I mean, without money, this place will be gone. It won't kill me, because I can survive. I have a cheap apartment. I can sell books online. I'll survive. Some of the people who form the community here, who hang out here all the time, will lose something more. I don't know. Once it goes, it'll vanish into air. It'll be gone with the wind, I like to say. It'll become part of history or legend or mythology. I don't know. It'll just become part of the past.
That story was produced by Holly J. McDeed, and as it turns out, it doesn't have to be the last one about Adobe Books, because it didn't close. A white knight did arrive in the form of an Indiegogo campaign that raised $60,000 last March to keep the store in business. The store did move from 16th to 24th Street and is now owned by a collective. Its new name is Adobe Books and Art Cooperative. And that's all for today's edition of Cross Currents. The team includes Julie Kane, Tiffany Kamhai, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Alyssa Kapnick, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Daniel Moore, Liz Pfeffer, Leah Rose, and Stephen Short. Today's show is engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. This is Finnish Ticket. The indie pop quartet from Alameda is playing this Friday at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco. Doors open at 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Good feeling. I'm lying on the floor, and as you told me, I should have cared a little more.